Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, welcome to Chat of the Wild. In this season, we are playing through The Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds. In our last episode, we completed another dungeon. We all got the ore and we upgraded our sword.
We did. Lovely red master sword.
Yes.
Master sword in any other Zelda game?
Oh boy.
Has it ever changed color?
Well, in Majora's Mask, you have two different completely type of swords that you can get.
Yeah.
So one has like a gold and a silver look to it, and the other is a blended
like rainbowy
metal
color.
Blade. Yeah. There is that, but I'm trying to think of just like a solid red sword. I don't believe so.
It's quite cool.
I think the closest we get to other like looks of the Master Sword is with the Goddess Sword, and that's it.
Yeah, that makes sense. So we decided that we're going to head into the Swamp Palace next, which is due south. We did talk about earlier
great
in
series.
The season.
Do you remember Due South?
We did talk. No, is that is it?
You never watched
British
Due South?
Is it?
No, it's Canadian. It's about the Mountie. It's set in New York, but it's a Canadian Mountie comes to work in New York, and it's like a fish out of water thing. He's partnered up with like a New York cop, and he's this Mountie with this like wolf. Oh, it's great, man, mate.
There's going to be some listeners out there that'll be so excited that you brought it up, I'm sure. But we did bring up about how we needed to get the giant bomb that we talked about episodes ago that we rent out and it follows us around to blow this up. Dennis, we talked before. Are you looking into potions?
I am. Potions. Potions are so nice. Holy crap.
Great.
They are amazing, and they have made this so much easier. It is so nice. I've been going with the yellow one because that offers the invincibility, and then I take like a blue one too, and I'm set. Like I haven't died on a boss yet ever since. So
that's good to hear. I'm so sad that we took this long to realize that.
Yeah, I've taken to. Splitting, I have two fairy potions and two blue potions on me, just because now that I've got like, I don't know what, a line and a half of hearts, almost, maybe, it's like, actually, yeah, five hearts isn't all that from a fairy, but it is useful in case you sort of lose track and get stuck and, you know, get caught out, but yeah, blue potions, man.
I'm still crossing my fingers, I've been fine, I just have all fairies, haven't even used them in this one, but... We'll see. We'll see what's ahead for us. I mean, we are going to be getting stronger at the end of this episode. So I still think it's probably going to be pretty easy for me. So I'm not really, I don't need to worry about a bottle strategy. It's not at the front of mind right now. Any other exploring that we did before we went to the swamp area?
Ooh, I'm trying to think.
Sure, I can say I did, because now that we can lift up big rocks too, I got all the Mai Mais on the light world.
Oh, nice.
I have all of those now. I didn't do all the ones in the dark world because there's some up in the mountains that I'm not going to yet. There's some in the north west region that I haven't explored yet because we're not going there yet. But
yeah,
I've got everything in the light world.
I did go around and sort of revisit all of the pins that I dropped, which I'd mostly dropped around the big rocks that you can't lift without the Titan's Mitt. So yeah, so I did do a little round trip of that and picked up some various things. I think I'm up to about 60 Mai Mai now. And so I upgraded a couple of things, a couple of my stuffs, And yeah, I definitely did a treasure, another treasure cave thing again, which yeah.
I went back to that sand one that I had talked about in a previous episode and got it in like a minute.
Yeah.
I don't know what I wasn't seeing before.
Yeah.
But this time I didn't even upgrade my sand rod and I just got it. And I was like, okay. And I just laughing it off.
Yeah. Yeah. Often, I mean, it's so often the case, isn't it? It's often the case with any sort of puzzles. Leave the room, come back again. I mean, like not in the game or in the game, but in real life. And then you see it fresh, man. See it fresh.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are a number of different heart pieces that we can collect. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dennis, do you have any things that popped to mind?
I got like three more heart containers and I got 270 Mimis. So mm-hmm. I have a good amount of stuff now. Yeah.
We might as well go ahead and talk. There is an area that we could have gone to that is just sort of just an optional thing. As we talked about collecting master ore there, if we go back to the chapel, there is one of those slits in the chapel that'll take you to the other side. Now you have the priest that's in the chapel. And then when you go into the dark world, there is the philosopher.
Yeah.
I just have to read what he says to you because it's heavy. When you first talk to him, he says, "Nobody bothers coming to this place anymore. But even I must wonder, have we abandoned the gods or have the gods abandoned us?" And it's just like, hey, dude, nice to meet you.
Yeah. Or hello. Yes. You know, sure.
And then if you light the one light inside of there, he goes, "Ah, light. How long has it been since I knew such a comfort? 3 years or an eternity? The world outside has long darkened with the menace of the masked."
Yeah, he's bleak.
"What is a little light against the rising dark?"
Bleak, it's like, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The person I feel sorry for is Dampe, the gravekeeper, who's outside. And clearly this guy has thought, no, you know what? Instead of going out and making conversation with him, I'm just going to stay in here for 3 years on my own in the dark rather than go outside and make a conversation.
I mean, his world must have just been looking at the shadows on the wall, right?
It's class war. That's what it is. That's what it is. He looked at the working man and went, no, I'd rather be on my own. Dreadful.
If you go up to Dampe, which you get, it's weird because it's Dampe on both Light World and Dark World.
Yeah. I reckon there's some deep lore going on there, and I'm waiting for like a Dampe specific spin-off game that's going to like tear the timeline in half with some deep revelations.
Those Dampes, they share the same soul or something like that.
I think he's the only being that straddles both dimensions, and that makes it very special. Never underestimate the working man.
But if you do talk to him, he thinks he's a ghost because he apparently hasn't talked to anybody for a very long time and wasn't sure if anyone was even alive anymore. What is
right
going
there.
On?
It's a
This game got like really dark really fast.
But if you go and explore this area, you can find some Mimis and you can get some master ore.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. I wanted to bring that up because it's just strange how like dark and heavy this one little space gets.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. Yeah. It's difficult to get to, like, because it's not, like you said, it's an optional area. So if it's difficult to get to, like, maybe they are the only two people that ever sort of ever be there.
It's cut off from everything else. Mm. Like, the only way to get there from Hyrule is to go straight through the sanctuary. And then the other one is, like, up on a cliff. So the only way to get through there is, like, completely cut off. So. Mm.
Oh man, that's scary. Like, I'm just having an existential crisis over here. No big deal. Anyway, let's play some video games to ease our minds and to forget everything. Let's go ahead before we get back to that though. Take a quick break and let the sponsors ease our existential crisis.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
All right, we're back. We've cooled down a bit. We're ready to get back to life. And let's head into the Swamp Palace. This one, you need to do a few steps to get in. Like I said before, you need to get the big bomb that you can go and rent from the either singing or poetic guy that rents that giant bomb out. Escort it all the way to the south area there. Blow it up, and that will lower the water down. Now, this is just a little hint of the kind of puzzles that we're going to be dealing with in this dungeon. Once you do that, you then need to use the hook shot to get across the little gap to go into the entrance, making this a hook shot required dungeon. It also, when you first get into there, has an icon of the hook shot on the floor.
Yeah.
Which I was just like, these are the things I was talking about. I thought these were all over the place, but they're not. They are all over the place in this dungeon, though. Honestly, to the point where I was kind of, I was like, really? You don't trust me enough at this point?
It's also got a boomerang icon, isn't it? Or is that just, isn't it? Hasn't it?
No.
Where did I go in? Maybe that was the treasure one I went into, which had a hook shot and a boomerang.
Why would you need the boomerang for that the hook shot wouldn't do?
Well,
because the hook shot.
Yeah, no, it definitely was a treasure one I went into because there was water levels in there. It basically felt like a little mini swamp palace, and you need the boomerang because you need to do some stuff with the boomerang in that as well as the hook shot. It's a really cool treasure cave. It's really, really cool.
Is it around here? Do you happen to remember that? Moving on.
It probably is. Like, a lot of the treasure caves, like, that are scattered around have like a vague like connection to like the environment. So like the sand treasure one is like in the desert, and like the water levely one is near the swamp. So it must be around here somewhere, probably. I can't remember where. But yeah, really, really cool though. It's really cool.
I have since also bought all the items, and I am wondering, Ravio does do this whole thing about how he's so excited for all of the friendship that he has made, and he can't wait to retire. And then that was kind of it for him. By the end of the next two episodes, I'm sitting at another like 3,000 rupees, and I'm just wondering, what am I going to do with these now?
Yeah, I know. There's potions, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping, I don't think it's in here, the kind of tunic that uses rupees for health we've had in previous Zeldas.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
It would make sense. I think it would be appropriate for this game as well, the way that they have an emphasis on getting as rich as possible. But
yeah, I've got about 8,000 rupees at the moment. I know.
That's a good amount.
Yeah.
But for what? I mean, now they just may not be worth anything, right?
I know. I just throw them at people as I pass by them, like an A-lister just like tipping their valet. I just throw them at, like, there you go, Moblin. There you go, Lionel. Have it. It's very classy.
Going through this one, we get introduced to some new mechanics with the hookshot that, well, to be honest, I mean, up until this point, we haven't really needed to use the hookshot very much.
No.
Not really.
Maybe to collect something, some rupees or a heart piece that's hanging off somewhere, but nothing required. But that's the nature of this game until we get to the dungeon that is like, this is what this dungeon is for. Everything else is just a little optional thing, right? So it can't have that much weight to it. But we are introduced to the idea of pulling objects, not necessarily of just like grabbing a thing and bringing it to you, like I said, as the boomerang would do, but using it as sort of an extension of our arm to pull on switches and manipulate things in that way. So this dungeon was pretty interesting, I felt. And it's funny that I believe it was in the last episode, I was defending the water temple and the mechanics there. And then we are in another water temple that we have to manipulate levels of the water.
Yeah. Although the thing about this one, and I personally absolutely love it, is that most of the water manipulation stuff you have to do is all contained within one room. It's sort of isolated. Yeah. You're not having to do the water levels of the whole place and keep track of that. It's just like, you know, and they're big rooms, some of them, but you don't need to, you don't need to keep track of the entire dungeon in every room that you're in. It's like, it's very self-contained. And I love that.
Yeah, I think it's more so that, because you do have to sometimes change the water level for an adjacent room.
Yeah. It's very clear that they're linked, is the thing. It's very clear that they're linked, because you can see the water, like you can see that the water goes off to the side. It's not like, you know, so it's all very clear. And obviously it's something that Zelda design has refined over the years of going, right, how do we actually make water levels not annoying? And signposting them, you know, well and clearly, but not too clearly, and you know,
but also the fact that there are two levels to this dungeon and the water levels are not connected to each other.
Yeah.
So the water level that's on level two is not, has nothing to do with the water level that's on level one. So that just makes less of a headache there in general. But we also come across some puzzles with rafts that you can sit on a raft and you can pull yourself, though I didn't see anything. I don't believe I got anything important in those. I think I got all just like optional
monster gut and stuff
and various whatnots,
various appendage. Just
Dennis, how did you fare in this one now that you are a little more better equipped?
This dungeon was definitely easier than the other ones. There's not too much fighting in this dungeon. There's a little bit, but there's not too much. And then also, it was really nice because I did find a little special blue tunic. That's really nice because it halves the damage that you take. And so I'm technically at the normal level of damage intake now.
But we're at the level of quarter hearts, and that's even better.
Now we're playing real easy mode.
It is nice. It does take a bit of stress off things.
Yeah, it is definitely. Everything's become way more simple. Killing things is way more easy now. Like, it's so nice. Like, the difficulty just dropped by, like, an entire, like, octave. Like, it is nice and not simple, but it's easier.
Yeah, we also come across a new enemy in here that I don't know. I mean, I don't know the Zelda way to describe it. It's just like
an ocarina snail.
It's a snail, but what are the ones called that they go in the conch shells. They get their own hermit crabs.
Yeah.
They're basically hermit crabs that you pull the shell off of them and then you can hit them on there. But like, I tried looking them up and I'm like, I don't know. They're not showing up on my list here. I'm sure there's some silly name for them somewhere, but we also don't see this type of enemy like in any other Zelda game. You know, there's various enemies that telegraph more what they are to teach you how to do certain things and all that. This one is just like, it's almost like a real world creature that's this game here, as opposed to a Zelda creature. But we can also use that shell for, you could pick it up and throw it as a weapon. We do have one, room that they want you to pick it up and throw it on one of the crystal switches.
I didn't think to do that. I did it with the bomb.
Bomb? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't even remember that room.
It could have been optional. I can't be sure. It felt like there was a lot of optional stuff in there. Mm. I found myself at one point in this dungeon where I'm like, I have two keys and I'm pretty sure I can get directly to the boss key right now if I wanted to. And there's like a door that in my mind, I went and opened everything up in the end just to be like, why not? But I was looking at some of this and I'm just like, I think I just went around and skipped a lot of stuff that I didn't necessarily need. I knew we had talked about beforehand, because we are kind of planning some of these things out here and there, that we were going to get the blue tunic in there. So I was keeping an eye out for a big treasure chest to find that in, but everything else I wasn't too concerned with. I don't think you find heart containers or heart pieces in treasure chests in this game. I believe all of them are like open. They're like out there.
Yeah.
So there, I don't think there's necessarily a concern of missing that in a treasure chest. We do have a mini boss here with a Gibari, which is the Beery are the little jellyfish creatures. That's the Zelda jellyfish. The Gibari is the big one that floats around and it will occasionally electrify. But if you're just shooting your hook shot at it, you just hit it no matter if it's shocking or not and just sit there, and eventually when it breaks up in little pieces, just get rid of them. I didn't find any trouble with this at all. Either of you?
Nah.
No.
Piece of cake. Fire rotted it. Even though there's loads of water around.
Okay.
Still works.
When they were small, I used the, because I had full hearts at the time, and I just used the ranged sword blast to just take them out. So that was easy too. There's also a few different puzzles that when you activate, it will turn on this strong stream of water that if you touch it, you will go on a ride. The first one we come across will drop you right into a pit. So like you do have to like, you can learn the hard way not to touch these, but later on, we're going to have multiple ones that we'll control that'll send us back and forth through a room to get through a door. So that I thought that one was fun.
Yeah.
Anything else stand out for either of you in this dungeon?
No. I mean,
I feel like we covered all of it.
The boss dungeon key. I mean, I feel like that was kind of whack, just because like it did want us to use the tornado rod to like put the fire out around it.
I used the ice rod,
but I think you could have raised the water up.
That would have done it,
and then lowered it, and then you would have a time before the fire would come up.
Yeah,
that might have been it. I just used the tornado rod because I remembered off of the Eastern Palace. So,
hey, you were all doing it differently. There we go.
Love it. Proto Breath of the Wild, isn't it?
Yeah. Physics, right? Like elements, you know, and they keep that in mind. Yeah, there's fire. We have a couple different ways to put out fire.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Speaking of which, before I, not putting out fire, but doing things differently / the wrong way, before I remembered, figured out that you can stand on a raft and hookshot something to pull you on the raft to it, I just could not figure out how to open the chests that were... that were there, and I ended up managing to, I can't even remember how I did it, but I managed to drop on top of a chest and then just like get on like the pixel on the edge to then trigger opening it rather than solve the puzzle. So I glitched my way to some free monster cuts of which I had like 99 of anyway, so it didn't count.
Oh, you're maxed out on those.
Yeah.
I had a similar thing, but it was always just, I was at the very corner pixel of the raft, and okay, as long as I could like face it enough to get the open button to appear on there, it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, it was just some rupees. It was some monster guts. It was all just like, okay, all right. I want to get rid of all the treasure icons on this dungeon. So I'll just do that anyway. So let's go into the boss. This is Argus. There's two R's, so Argus. I wanted to infer Argus.
Definitely Scottish.
Another throwback boss here, where we have to, he's covered in eyeballs that are covered in, I don't know, mucus. It's not just like water. It's kind of a different color and just, yeah, just some kind of a thing around there.
Blob.
Yeah.
Something. Bubble.
I think this is because this one emphasizes so much that this item is the one that you use. Mm. There's that, you lose that sort of guesswork that you would have in previous Zelda games of trying to be like, what item is going to work on this boss here? And it's just sort of like,
yeah,
no, use the item they want me to use here. Right.
Yeah.
How is this one for you, Dennis?
This one was pretty easy. I definitely find the Majora's Mask version much harder. So
it's just more entertaining in general.
Yeah.
The way that it's done. Jonathan, do you have any problems with this?
No. Again, it was like I was in the habit of hookshotting and hitting things, you know, so it was just bam, 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 bam. Good night, sir. fairly straightforward. I was expecting another phase, really, but then, But hey, I honestly don't. I never really mind an easy boss. It's a pleasant surprise after years of Souls-likes.
So we beat the boss. We're given a heart container, and we free Orin, the Zora Queen. So we run into her again. She thanks us. Yada yada yada. We teleport out, and that wraps up that one. So it's time to pick the next dungeon.
Yeah.
Dennis, where are we going next?
Let's go Skull Woods. Skull Woods sounds kind of fun.
Ooh, okay. Spooky. Is there any other reason that we're going up there? Maybe. That way?
Maybe.
Maybe something else to make you a little stronger?
Maybe.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Maybe
exciting.
Another master or something. I don't know.
We only have three dungeons left, so it's roll the dice, right? Roll a D3 right here, and we'll decide which one we go to. So, for our next episode, go do some more exploring,
yeah,
and then head up northwest to the former Lost Woods, which is now the Skull Woods. You do have to get a little creative to get in there. Go, I'll just tell you, go to Kakariko, look around at one of the houses, maybe stick around the side of it. You'll figure something out. Go do all that. Complete the dungeon waiting for us. Free the next painting. And then we'll be back here and talk about it on Chat of the Wild.
Good practice. Right then, here we go. Oh yeah, I don't introduce this. Yes. Hello.
Welcome to Oh, okay. All right. Are we doing this? Is this what happened?
Over to you.